Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
There's so many times in the Bible where you find, and this is actually going to be a little bit mixed in with my message today, but there's going to be so many times in the Bible where it talks about worshiping through the circumstance, through what's happening, through what's going on, because of the fact that our Savior really is that, our Savior. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our peace and our calm in the storm. He's the one who holds it all for us. He really is. And His promises are true. Regardless of what the world is doing, regardless of what's happening around us, regardless of what we physically see, He works all things together for good to those who love Him. Amen. So when He speaks things in your life, man, it is so. God, let it be. God, bring it forth. Those are the things that you just gotta stand on.
Good morning. I tell you, this is such a great day in the Lord. We have communion with Him at all times. You saw the words, and it speaks truth. And the songs touch your heart. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm standing on holy ground. So I'm going to take my shoes off. I feel His presence so strong. And this week, the Lord was talking to me about so many of us are going through struggles and through pain, through so many situations. And we have the answer, and it's communion with God. It's Him who will show us the way. It's Him who will give you wisdom to endure, wisdom to navigate. And then your testimony is going to be what reaches other people. It doesn't matter where you live, where you work, where you play, what your life was in the past. What matters is He's in your life. And as you commune with Him daily, He gives you the answers you need. Too often we try to do things in ourselves. Well, you know what? He's got a better plan for you. When He died on that cross, He came so you would have abundant life, not that you would have to think things out of yourself. When we do things of ourselves, that's permissive will. But you know, I don't know about you, I like perfect will. God is there to help you through anything. And even if you feel like you can't go on, He will help you go on. He will give you what you need in order to continue your life, because He wants you to go from victory to victory. He wants you to navigate all kinds of things, because then you have a testimony to share. And sometimes you're going to be the only Bible anyone reads until they learn from you who Christ is, until they learn from you that they have a hope, and that hope is available to them at all times. And so just know that you can make a difference. So as you walk today after this communion, I want you to remember, take Him with you. Let Him go before you. Let Him prepare hearts to hear what you want to say or be what you need to be. Because that's bringing the kingdom down here. And that's going to make people say, I want what you have. And it's just such a beautiful way of reaching people, because it's not about what comes out of your mouth all the time. Sometimes it's those actions. And then when they say, how is it that you have hope when you're walking through terrible times? Then you can tell them and you can share, I have Jesus in my life, and you can have Him too. And that's the beauty of this, is that we all can have Him. But we all need to understand that the Word is there for all of us. And we can't be just standing idle trying to resolve issues and make things happen. Because even in the impossibilities, He deals with impossibilities. And so just know that there's nothing impossible with Him. His hand is not too short. He can help you, but you've got to have the faith of a mustard seed to make it happen. And so understand that His love is so great for you that God sent His only begotten Son to suffer terrible things. Scholars say that he shouldn't have survived the scourging, that he should have, you know, not been strong enough to take that cross up. And yes, he did have help. But the thing is, he shouldn't have survived everything that he did, but he did it for us. And he didn't respond in anger. He didn't respond in a hateful way. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So today, if you are holding any unforgiveness for anyone, today's the day to forgive. And I want you to remember, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. And then God will heal you, and God will heal the other person that you release. And sometimes you'll never, ever be friends or be with that person again. But it's okay, because people come into our lives for a season. So let your seasons be his seasons. Let him help you walk where you need to walk. Okay, so we're gonna take communion. And if everybody would stand, please. Thank you. So the purpose of communion is to receive from Christ nourishment, strength, hope, and joy. The bread signifies the body of Christ, which was broken for you. He took on all sin, iniquity, rebellion, disease, grief, and shame. So please partake of the bread. This grape juice represents the blood that he shed for you to establish a new covenant with you. It brought you forgiveness of sin and set you apart in holiness. Please take the cup. So now I just ask you, Lord, to please bless every person here, that you would be with each and every person, that you will guide them, you will strengthen them, and you will cause them to look to your face for all answers. We know, Father, that we have those answers in you. And so, not of ourselves, we will look to you to guide us. And Father, help us to walk out of this church and to be faithful to you, to bring your kingdom by our actions, by our words, by our deeds. And Lord, be with our families that aren't here today due to illnesses. Father, I know your Holy Spirit is everywhere. So right now, bring them comfort. Bring them your peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord, just bless each and every person here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
This week, I was reading Galatians, and it's a really good book. It's not that long, and it's a really good book. And in there, it talks about freedom, that in Christ we are crucified. Nevertheless, we live. But not I, but Christ through us. Amen. He is with us. Come he on. Is in us. It's if we let him, if we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, we don't have to do anything. We can rest in the Lord, and come he on. Can work
That's right.
through us.
That's right.
We are free. Enjoy your freedom. Mm-hmm. Take up his cross. His burden is easy. His yoke is not heavy. We need to choose to do his work. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Does anybody else have a word? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to say this. The word of God says in Romans chapter 8, it says this. It says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many believe that? Yeah, I mean, and so the laws of the Spirit of life operate the same way the laws of gravity work. How many know that the laws of gravity are continually working, right? Yeah, and you know, the laws of I don't know what else. What's that when you spin around real quick and it wants to throw you? Centrifugal force. It's a force that's always there. Amen? Hallelujah. The laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operate by one thing and one thing only. How many know? It operates only by faith. It operates by faith. You have to exercise your faith to see those things that you have been, that God has been speaking to you about, to see the things that God's calling you into, to see the things that God is showing you. It is by faith and faith alone. Amy, say amen. There's been some things happening in this house. People have been getting sick. People have been falling down. Amen? People have been having problems, hurting themselves. We had a guy touch a pot that burned his hand, couldn't play the guitar. Brother Steve fell backwards after moving a couch. Is that right? And folks, the word of God says that by his stripes we are healed, just like Linda said this morning. I'm going to say amen to that. That's got to be a hearty amen, because it takes faith. It takes faith to believe these things, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus releases you from the law of sin and death. Do you understand that? So it takes faith to move into these things. So I was to exercise your faith. Now, my daughter is getting ready to come up and speak to you. And I know she always has a great message. Always. She's always given us the Word of God. This morning, she's got a shoulder that is hurting her a lot. And it just seems like there's a reason. So what I want you to do is lean into this sermon this morning for what she has for us, because it's not really what she has for us. It's actually what God has for us this morning. There is a push against the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you something that the world wants to, it wants to steal your faith. It wants to rip you off. How many say amen? No, don't say amen to that. It wants you to live according to the way this world lives. And we're not called to do that. We are called to live according to the kingdom of God. How do you say amen? That you can say amen to. Amen. So if you would, I want to pray real quick one more time for my daughter this morning. I'm going to ask the Lord just to touch her. Let the anointing of God be upon her. Amen. And heal that thing that's troubling her this morning. So I see a few folks going over to lay some hands on her. Go ahead, lay some hands on her. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Father, your word has said an unrefutable word. Father, your word has said that by your stripes we are healed. According, not to this world, but according to the riches in glory. Father, so we thank you for it and we praise you for it. Woo, hallelujah. I sense the anointing of God. Father, the healing, not only for Rebecca, but for every person in this house, like I mentioned before, but God, hallelujah, I believe you for it. I believe you. My faith is, Father, strong in this place, Father. So thank you for that, Father. I praise you for it. Open our hearts now, Lord, to hear what you have given. What you have given for us this morning. Allow us, Father, to partake of the communion of the bread that you have. The hot bread from heaven, Father, fresh out of the ovens of glory. We thank you for it and we praise you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Come on up, Rebecca. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. As I was studying last night, I felt really strongly that the first thing I want to tell you guys is please take notes. I have a lot of scriptures, and I think that, well, I know that it has a lot to do with confirmation. And for what I'm going to talk about, for people who maybe are dealing with it currently or have things, just go back. I just want to encourage you, write down notes and go back and look at everything yourself. And just let God speak to you. Let him give you freedom. Let him give you peace. Let him just teach you what he's wanting to teach you through all of this morning, because I know that he's really wanting to move us in some directions. And the truth is that this is something we've really, in a roundabout way, have been talking about for a really long time. But when I was going through what I was going to preach about this week, I felt like God kept talking to me about freedom. And I was like, oh, but God, maybe that's in my head because this is 4th of July weekend, Yudin. And if that's not what you have, like, then that's not what I want to speak, Yudin. And over the week, it just kept, like, more things and more things and more things, which is why I have so many scriptures to kind of give you guys this morning. But I really know that he is wanting to teach us to walk in a completely new way. And this can be hard sometimes. I feel like sometimes it can be a hard subject to tell people, step out of one area, move into another. Don't be doing this or don't be doing that. But I don't feel like that's even what this is this morning. It's more of encouragement. It's encouragement for what he has for you, what he's wanting for you, and what he's going to do for you. So just please, if you don't have a notebook, we have a note space on the bulletins. So you can make sure you grab like a bulletin. There's still some in the back. But please just take notes so that you can take all these things down and you can just look over them and see them yourselves, or, and just let God speak to you personally about what he has. I'm going to start this morning in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles. So, and first, just to kind of give you some information, in 1 Chronicles, Solomon is David's son. He is building the temple, and he's building a place for himself and the temple. And he, you know, there's so many times, even in 1 Chronicles, if you go through and you read this, I just love that he talks about the promise that he gave, that God gave his dad, that is coming to pass through him, which to me already is something that just totally just like every time I read it just stood out, because God gives us so many promises, and being a mom, seeing that so many times in there, raise up a child in the ways they should go and they will not depart from it. They won't, even when you see things maybe that you're like, oh gosh, I don't want you to do that, or where you're feeling like, oh, did I teach them the right things? No, that if you pour God into them, and if you just show them all the things that God's showing you, that's a promise that they will not depart from it. They will come back to it. Even if there's things that happen between, stand on the promise that they will come back, that they will be there. That was not necessarily what I meant to start with, but so he built it, and but it's just an awesome thing. If you read this story, it's in 1 Chronicles, and it kind of pours into 2 Chronicles, and it talks about how lavish this thing is too, which is just an awesome thing. But in this particular part we're going to start in, it's where God appears to Solomon. So let's start. 2 Chronicles 1, and it says, "And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly." I just want to start there. He was already, let's just to set the picture, he was already a great king. God was blessing him. He was blessing his territory. He was really with Solomon. And I love that it starts this with, "The Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly." So just know going into this, he was already blessed. It wasn't that he needed a lot of things. He was blessed already. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, and the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath, I don't know how to say that, but Jerim, to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation saw unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast shewed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. If you keep reading, it talks about all of his strength and wealth. And like I said, we saw from the beginning of this that he was already blessed. But this is the same thing for us. His life was a reflection of what God was doing in it. It really was. The victories, the wealth, all the things that he had, it really was a reflection of what God was doing through him. It wasn't just him. And that's the thing, is that is exactly what we're meant to do. It hasn't changed. It hasn't become different. There's still so many places in the Bible that you will read where he talks about not toiling in vain because he's already blessed you. And that even the people that do toil in vain do it for his people. It's because there's blessing upon your life already. When you're allowing him to do things in your life, there's already blessing there. And he wants to make you great. Just like Solomon, I just love that he was exceedingly great. It wasn't just a little, it wasn't just kind of, it was exceedingly, because it was God. But when he asked for wisdom and knowledge, he did something that is much more valuable. Because really his decision was that, God, I want to know what you have. I want to know what you're doing. I want to walk in the things that you have. I want to know where you want me to go, how you want me to move, what you want me to speak, what you want me to just do for the future, because I know that I want to be the promise that you gave to my father. And he just asked, just give me the wisdom and the knowledge.
because he wanted to succeed. But more than anything, he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. This is exactly where the church is meant to be. In a place where we begin to realize that it's not what we do, it's not what we say, it's not what we think should happen. It's exactly what he wants that is perfect in our life. It's why we talk about being perfected in him, because what he has is so much greater and so much better than anything we could ever choose on our own. He is exactly what makes you magnified and exceedingly great. And not because of you or the things that you're doing, but because of him within you. You are meant. When we say in this, because I know we say it a lot, when we say you are meant for life and life more abundantly, you are. And so are all of the people in this town, in this city, in the areas around us. Can I tell you that the church is not just meant for it to just be that things happen within these walls and don't go anywhere else? Our lives are meant to be examples of exactly who he desires for us to be. They're meant to be an example of the Creator who we're made after, a reflection of who he is. It's meant that you would function differently, that you would be set apart, that you would have something different, because that's exactly what the world is looking for. And when they see it overflowing and over your cup overfilled, sometimes you won't even have to say a thing. It's just going to be an attraction to a light in an extremely dark place that they're just needing and wanting. But what happens so often is that we're stuck straddling a line between two worlds. And this morning, my sermon is titled True Freedom. And it's because Solomon had true freedom. He really did. His battles, his situations, everything were God's. They were all for him to fight, for him to deal with, because I just want the knowledge of what you want me to do. But there's a lot of times that we ourselves, we're stuck right in this spot of, well, but I don't understand what you're trying to say. That doesn't make sense to me. That's okay that things don't make sense to you, because you're still, if you are obedient, you'll see God's hand come forth in so many different ways. The church has really become used to being in this place where we believe God and we're going after him real strong on Sunday, but come to the week, we're like this small and we don't really say much or do much because we don't want to rock any boats. Your independent relationships with God will be what builds you, what strengthens you, what gives you peace in moments of trouble, what gives you so much strength for every single thing that's to come. It'll give you insight. It'll give you the knowledge that you need. It'll give you confidence. It'll give you everything that you need. It's why we speak so strongly about going after God yourself. Know what he's telling you specifically, because what he's revealed to me at one point, he may not have revealed to you yet. Or maybe he revealed it to you months ago and I'm barely getting it. But when he shows it to you, it's like the Bible actually talks about a veil being removed. It's like suddenly you see a whole different picture. It really is revelation within your life that teaches you new things. It gives you new things. It's the area that takes just reading the Bible to a living word that's working in your life, that's changing, that's giving you exactly what you need in the moment that you need it. It's not just words on a page anymore, but it's the tools that you need to go through every single day. It's exactly what you need in every moment that you need it. It's the encouragement. It's the victory. It is everything for you. It's not meant for you to just read a part. I don't really understand that. Let me go to the next. If that's the way it is, that's okay. Spend more time. But he has more for you than just to struggle reading some words that feel maybe like they don't pertain to you. No, they do pertain to you. They hold life for you. They are everything that you need. The Bible talks about you needing the bread of life, and this is exactly what it is for you. It teaches you the things. It's even, you know, we make things so hard on ourselves when we decide that we gotta fix things in our life, that we gotta, I know that this is a bad habit I have. I know that I shouldn't do this. I really got to try to fix that. Can I tell you, if you just focus on God, he's going to show you how to weed every single one of those things out of your life. And without as much effort as it's taking you to struggle to get it out because you're not allowing him to work. It becomes an easier process because now your eyes are focused on the Father and he's changing your heart and he's revealing things to you, which is setting you free from every burden, every bondage that you've ever had. It's why the Bible talks about looking forward, because you're not meant to look back. You're meant to look at him so that you continue to move forward in every single thing that he has for you. He wants to give you more. He wants to show you new things. He wants to place new things within you so that you can be strengthened, so that you can be revived, so you can be thirsty for what he has for you, because he wants you to be on fire. He wants you to be passionate. He wants you to see all the things he has for you. And I guarantee you that as you see one and you see what he's done, you'll want more. You just gotta let him move in your life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. We're gonna start at verse 11. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them
and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you know how many times I've heard this scripture? Do not be unequally yoked. And growing up, I always, always kind of put it more with like my relationships and things like that. Which, I mean, it is talking about, but in this sermon today, what I really want to speak to you guys about is our relationship with the world compared to our relationship with the kingdom. This scripture clearly talks about how they have no place together. In it, it actually says that there is no concord. For the church to start becoming effective, we have to learn to stop walking in the things of the world and realize that we gotta walk in the kingdom. He speaks to us about this a lot, just double-mindedness, all those things. Here and in Romans, it's something that is talked about a lot in the Bible, but in this, I'm wanting to bring this because it is important for us to remember God went to the dark places. He did. He went and he spoke to the Gentiles, which you were supposed to stay away from. And he went and he spoke to all of the people that maybe other people felt you weren't supposed to. And sometimes I feel like this scripture is really taken as like, nope, I'm not going anywhere near there or them because that's not good. God wants you to minister to people. You're meant to minister to people. What he's talking about right here has a lot to do with what you're doing, with what's going on. Are we walking in the things of this earth? Is this where we're wanting to dwell? Not because of our ministry, but because of problems or issues or things that we're having with things going on. We're not meant to be yoked with this earth. We aren't. We're meant to function in the kingdom. We're meant to live a different way. We're meant to, you know, I was talking to my brother, and I don't know if anybody will remember this. When we were kids, there was this song that was out for a long time. It's called Jesus Freak that DC Talk did. But I remember back then, I feel like, you know, it kind of was taken as like a bad thing. Like, you didn't want to be a Jesus freak, like, or things like that. The way it was even said was like, made it seem like odd. But we were talking about it the other day. And we were like, you know, that has like a whole new meaning now. Because there's things that God does in our lives that seem really weird. And we even are like, gosh, we probably seem so weird to people around us. But that is meant to be that way because you don't deal with situations the same way the world deals with them. You're not meant to meet problems the same way that the world meets problems. You're not meant to worry about the same things that the world worries about. If you're getting all hyped up and upset about something that's going on in the world, I would encourage you, ask God about it because he's the one who's letting it happen. You're frustrated with what you're seeing? Go after God because there's nothing on this earth that doesn't happen without his okay. That's why the Bible tells us all things work together for good. Because when you don't see it, he knows. When you feel like this is really wrong, I don't want my kids living in this world. This isn't the way things should be. He knows
why it's happening. He knows where he's placed you. He knows what he's doing within you. And sometimes, ooh, church, this is where sometimes we are meant to just be quiet. You're not meant to fight the same fights in the same ways. You're not meant to say the same things that everybody else is saying. You are meant to show something different because you're not walking of this world. You're walking in the kingdom. You are meant to reflect the Father. How many times did they do wrong things to him? Did they say wrong things to him? And he loved through it all, or he gave a promise in its place. This is what my word says. This is what is gonna happen, because he knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. You are not meant to worry about the same things that other people worry about. You're not meant to be flustered because of the same things that they're flustered about. He will give you peace in all things. You are meant to function differently. It's why he doesn't want you equally yoked. It's why he doesn't want you straddling that line anymore of the world or the kingdom, the world or the kingdom. No, get on the right side and get moving, because he's got things for you and he's wanting to place more within your life. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Come on. The same rules don't apply to you, because God's got it under control. He knows what he's doing. This right here is everything. When we try to fix things on our own, just like I said a while ago, it is so much harder. There really is a process that happens in your life where you got to start learning. Nope. I know that that's of me, not of him. So I'm going to let the Spirit do this. You got to start making a conscious decision to allow God to be the one who works in every area of your life. The Spirit is meant to lead you. It's meant to show you things. It's meant to give you direction. It's meant to, just like we talked about before, weed out. It's meant to give you new paths. But just like this says, your flesh will fight it at every turn until you decide, nope. You get back. Because the Spirit is what's going to lead me. This morning, we're talking about choices. Walking according to earthly things, walking according to the kingdom. We're talking about letting go of that yoke that's holding those two things, because you need what he has. You really do. It's why we see a world that searches so often for something that's missing. You know what's missing, and you have it, but so often we're too busy in both worlds that we're not fully living to the potential that he has for you. All the things that he's given you, all the gifts, I guarantee you that you have not even seen yet every single gift that he's placed within you. That there's still more that he's wanting to pull out. There's still more he's wanting to give you, that he's wanting to reveal to you.
But a lot of these changes begin to happen when we begin to realize that we gotta walk in a different way. We gotta see things in a different way. We gotta function in a completely different way. Let's go to Proverbs 14:14. It says, "The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above." That's the thing. Is you will continue to search and you will continue to look just like everybody else until you decide that I need to be satisfied in a different way. I need to be satisfied from him, from above, not from the things around me, not from the person next to me or the relationship or anything else. I need to be satisfied first from him. I wasn't planning to talk about this, but marriage is hard. It's not easy. Let's be honest. Like, I think you can watch a lot of movies, you see a lot of stuff that gives you this idea that marriage is just sheer bliss and amazingness. It's hard work. It really is. And it is a constant decision that you are gonna stick it through regardless of what comes. Through thick, through thin, through it all, because you love them. I was watching a thing the other day that actually talked about how people are actually conditioned for divorce through dating nowadays because of how often they jump from one person to the next because, oh, I didn't like that, so now I'm going over here. Oh, I didn't like that, so I'm going to go over here. Let me try again. And then it was talking about how once they get into a marriage, they don't know how to stay because they've gotten so used to just being like, oh, I don't like that, so now I'm leaving. If you look for satisfaction from above first, I guarantee you that he will pull you closer to that partner than you've ever been. He will show you where to love, the way to love. He will show you what to change. He will show you how to grow. He will show you all of those things. Because two people coming together is difficult. You are different from each other, no matter what. You are not exactly the same. You don't have exactly the same viewpoints 24/7. And that is okay, because you strengthen each other. You help each other. You support each other. And so often, just going after God for what's going on within your marriage will bless your marriage so much more than anything you can do on your own. This is how, this Bible is how your marriage doesn't just survive, it excels. Because he wants to give you guys so much. He wants to bless you. He wants to continue to have you grow together and move together and become one in him, because that is what he desires. When you feel like it is hard, he has the answers. Go after him. Look for satisfaction from above. Always. Because it's where you get everything that you need. every single thing. It is your lifeline. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:1. Says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I liked this because just know that even when you feel like you're having a hard time or things are, you're struggling with things, he talks about not walking in the ways of this world, even here. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You are not meant to walk in this world. I'm just going to keep giving you scriptures that confirm that. That's really what he gave me so much of, is just confirming. You are meant to walk outside of this world. You are meant to walk in the kingdom, the way the kingdom does things. It's why he tells us that even though we're persecuted, we are not forsaken. Even though we're cast down, we are not destroyed. Because when you see things happening in a world that seems insane and crazy, he knows exactly what he has for you and exactly what he's doing. He can still place you in the perfect spots and do exactly what he's meant for you to do. He is still making you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He is still making you victorious through it all. He is still walking with you in all things. Whew, come on. You are meant to be mighty. You are meant to be magnified, and you are meant for exceedingly great things. Just like Solomon. And the knowledge of what God has for us is so extremely important, because it's the Spirit that reveals it to you. It's the Spirit that unlocks every single mystery that he wants to place within your life. It is what will take you from feeling like you were in a dry place to overflowing rivers of life. It is what will take you from feeling like you were just going through the day to day to, God,
thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the things you've placed there. Because he has things for you. You are not just meant to exist on earth. And you are not meant to just sit here and think, well, the only thing I'm striving for in life is to be able to stay in my home and be able to drive a car. No, those are blessings that he gives you so you can continue to work and do the things that he's given you. And he wants to place good things in your life because you are meant to be set up. You are meant to be given great things because of the blessing that is within your life because of who he is in it. Think of all of those things as the supply for the needs so that you will not focus on them, so that you can continue to minister and do the things that you're meant to do. It's why we see missionaries that have no money continuing to go, because God will provide the need. If you just continue to focus on him, if you continue to look at him instead of other things, the things around you, the storms happening, the lack of finances, all the things that we focus on because they're important to this world, if you take your eyes off of him, you'll begin to see that they were already supplied. You just had to keep moving. You just had to keep going after him. You just had to keep looking to him for everything. Part of not walking according to the world is realizing that you gotta let go of what the world cares about. So when you look at healing, science doesn't make sense. Who cares? You serve a God who heals. It doesn't make sense to win a battle in the way you're going to win it. Who cares? He's already given you victory. The Bible says that you have dominion over this earth. There is nothing meant to hold you down. The only thing that holds us down is our inability to step into the kingdom fully and allow him to work for us. We're too busy straddling the line. We are meant to walk in the kingdom all the time. Not just when it's convenient to us. Not just when we're up on the hills. It's when we're in the valleys too. It's when we are good, when we are bad, when we are seeing storms in our life, regardless of what it is, you are meant to walk in the kingdom. Don't let the rest become a distraction to you. Don't let what's happening around you take your eyes off of what you need to keep them on. Get out of the boat and just look at him. And just let him take you where he's going to take you. Be obedient. Surrender to him. And allow him to do what he's wanting to do in your life. Because I guarantee you that it is going to be better than anything you try to do on your own. Any problem you try to fix on your own. Any grief you try to get past on your own. Any storm you come to, you have peace. We're going to go to just over a little bit, 2 Corinthians 4:15. And this says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Everything you're going through, everything you see, everything happening, it is for good. It's for your good. It's for the good of the people around you even. He is working it all together for good.
And we got to start changing our perspective. That transforming of our mind that happens when we allow the Spirit to move, it really does change our perspective as to what we're seeing. So instead of seeing it as there's a storm, we see it as, God, I don't know what you're doing, but it's a great opportunity. You're teaching me something. What are you trying to show me? Go after him for those things, because he's never in any moment trying to hurt you. He's trying to give you things. So when you have things come up in your life, when you see things happening, go after him, because all things work together for good. And just like this says, everything, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That worshiping that happens, that's for the glory of God. It really is. Worship, and I've heard so many people who don't know I'm a worship leader will be like, oh, but that song part in the beginning, that's like my least favorite part. And you know what? That's okay, because God has something to reveal there. Worship, when you feel like God may not be there, or you struggled this week and I really don't want to be here, there is a lot of times that if you just allow God to wrap his arms around you during worship, you will feel him in your life like none other. You can feel his presence. You can feel him moving. It is really a moment of sheer communion with your Creator, the one who knows the answer to every single thing that happened in your week. It's powerful. It really is. Let's go to Proverbs 14, 26 through 27. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You are meant to depart the snares of death. Sin is death. It's why the Bible does talk a lot about perfection. It really does, because you are perfected through his word. It's why we have to realize that this really is a relationship and a walk with God, because as you go after him, just like I told you, any things that maybe you for the last how many years have said, I tried to kick that like 50 times, he can do it in a second, because he can work things in your life and change things in your life like nobody else can, like you can't even do yourself. But it is why it talks about perfection. It's because you are meant to go after God. And as you walk with God, you will begin to see that a lot of those things fall off in your life. And you really do begin to realize, like, man, this load has gotten a lot lighter. Because now you're not trying to fix things and carry things on your own, but you're allowing him to do it through you. And just like this says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. you got peace. He's got a place for you to stay. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You aren't meant for the same things as this world. You are not. You are meant for life. Let's go to Psalms 71. It says, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Solomon was a wonder because of who God was in him. Like I told you, if you go back and you read even past where we read, it talks about so much of his strength and wealth and how much of it he had. He had that because of God. And it's the same thing with you. You are meant to be a wonder. You are meant to stand apart. You are meant to be a little weird. Because you do not handle things like this world handles them. You are not meant to look the same way as them. You are not meant to deal with things the same way as them. And I am telling you, as you begin to walk the way that God has for you, this is where you become the light, because now it's him who's shining, because you're not doing things the way anybody else would do them. You're doing them the way that God would do them. And that is different. When you're told to walk around a wall with a bunch of singers and instruments, you're going to do it because you know that he's going to bring it down. It seems odd. It seems weird. It doesn't seem right. I don't have the right tools. Who said? God's the one who created everything within this world. And you're saying that you don't think that he can deal with things differently than what everybody else thinks it should be? That's the point. A lot of times when you're going through something, it's why you need to look to God, because your direction may be so different from what you think it should be. And where he's trying to take you and what he's trying to show you is so different. It's why those situations will be dealt with so differently, because he's going to show you, I make you strong. I give you peace. I am the one who lightens the load. I am the one who gives you true freedom from worry, from depression, from any of the things that might try to come in your life. It's all him. Every single part of it is him. It's why we gotta look to these promises to stand on them. The things, the scriptures I'm giving you this morning, they're for you. They're your promises. It's what he's telling us that he has for our life. It's what he's desiring for you to walk in. They're for you. They're gifts. It's why I said, write them down and go through them, because they are yours. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:7. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Let's read that again. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Because as you begin to change, the things that God has given you are meant for others. They are. And if you continue to read on in here, it'll talk about giving the same mercy and grace that he has given you. Which is why I'm saying there are some times when you want to fight that you're better off saying nothing. Because the second that you argue your point, you become exactly like this world who has no kind of self-control whatsoever. So when you begin to exercise that self-control of, you know what, I don't gotta fight, but I am gonna love on you, that shows a loving God who is within you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. And we're gonna read 9 and 10. It says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Seems a little crazy, right? I'm gonna rejoice in this infirmity? Like I said, we are not meant to see things the same way as this world. And when we begin to look at things this way, this is where freedom happens. Instead of worry, instead of stress, instead of spending tons of money on a doctor who's gonna be like, go home and rest. There is a God who is our healer, who is our strength, who is our counselor. He is every single thing that you need. It's why I like when he talks to Moses, he says, I am the I am. The I am what? Everything. Everything you need. Everything you want to place there, I am. I will do it for you. Which is why we gotta learn to stay in this place. Not worrying, stressing, because we can't see the end. We gotta start to realize the promises are there, so this is where I am staying. I am rejoicing in the hard times because I know that though I am weak right now, you will be strong. Because you make me strong in these moments. It's what he has for you. Let's go to Isaiah 40, and we're going to read verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He will strengthen you in every single thing. Let's read John 7. And we're going to read verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Whew, you are meant to be alive. You are meant to flow with life, not just be alive. He wants it to flow out of you. Be so full and so magnified that it just flows from you. It's what he desires for you, not just basic, but overflowing. Yeah. Let's go to Isaiah 41. And we're going to read 18 through 20. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shida tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Don't worry when you see things in your life that you don't understand. Because he's telling you right here, regardless of the place that you're in, you can be in the driest desert and I will put the things that are used to cool weather in the desert and I will make them succeed. Because of the fact that it was me. And I am showing you that it was me. There are going to be times in your life that you don't understand why you're going through or what's happening or what the answer to it is. And let me tell you that if you just continue to keep your eyes focused on God, he is going to do this in your life. It doesn't matter if you are in the driest place, you will begin to see rivers. You will begin to see the life around you because he will show himself strong in your weakness. He will show himself strong in every single area of your life. It doesn't matter what's happening with your boss. It doesn't matter what's happening at home. It doesn't matter what's happening with your children. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter. Let it go and let God do it. Let him be the one who gives you direction. Let him be the one who speaks to you. Let him be the one who leads you because he will. Let it be seen that he is working in your life. Let's go to Psalms 1. And we're going to read 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I just want to make it a point that he is talking right here that if you meditate with him day and night, if you go after him in every single thing you do, your leaves will prosper. You will come forth in season. Do you know what that means? Every single time that something comes against you, it's going to come forth because he has prepped you for the season ahead already. Whew, come on. This right here is exactly what we're talking about. Solomon was magnified and was exceedingly great because of this. Because when other people were looking for fame and riches and all this stuff, all he wanted was knowledge. God, make me wise. Give me your knowledge and let me know what you want me to do. And because he planted himself next to that river of life, he sprung forth with life himself. And it's exactly what is meant for you. And every single thing you do, you are meant to spring forth with life constantly. You are meant to always have a refuge within him. You are meant to always be strengthened in your times of needing strength. You are meant to be strong in all moments of your life because you have your roots planted in the living water of life. Because you have made a choice that this world has nothing for me. You are the only one that I need. And it tells you, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Even when you feel like you're failing, let him guide you because I promise what you touch will prosper because of what he does through you. When you allow him to direct your life in all things and you function according to the kingdom, there's nothing, nothing that let me tell you, if something fails, it's because he has something greater for you. We gotta start looking at things with the perspective of, even though it seems bad to me, you're doing something good through it. Because that's exactly what this is telling us. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he is within it. Stop letting things happening around you take your focus off of what he's doing. This is where the church begins to rise up. It's where we do become different. It's where we become the bride we're meant to be, because now we're not letting things that are happening in the world turn us from side to side, but we're realizing, God, I don't care what's happening from side to side, because all I want is you. I will fail if I turn from you, but if I stay focused on you, you know exactly what I need. It's where we are meant to reside. So get those roots in the water. Meditate day and night. Don't let things take you from side to side. Don't let things distract you, but go after him continually. When you feel like you're having a hard time, my suggestion to you, go into the word even harder. Spend even more time than you would have spent before. Because where you feel like you're struggling, he's saying, I got it. I already know what you need. So stop worrying and just look to me. Let's go to Revelations 22. Because this is the last scripture I have for you, and I know you guys got to go. So it says, and he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Guys, this is all the way in Revelations. We went from Old Testament to New Testament, and there was so many more that I even left out because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through all these. There are so many things in this word that will tell you that he is your strength, that he is everything that you need, that if you go after him, he will prosper you, that if you go after him, he will give you great things, that if you go after him, he will bless you, that if you go after him, he will show you the things that you need. It's all in there. It's all in the word. And here it even talks about, we're going to take a place where we don't need a light in the dark place, because he's already given it to us. Where you've already been set up in the high places. The church is meant to function in this place. We will continue to just exist until we realize that what he desires for us is to be functioning in a kingdom that is much greater than anything this world has to offer. It's time for us to get to a side. It's time for us to stop straddling the two and thinking that it's okay to be lukewarm. It's time for us to realize that we are still in need. We are still struggling. We are still
searching because we are not quite functioning the way he has desired for us to function. He has every single thing that you need. But it is time. It is time for us to start walking in the kingdom. It is time for us to go after him and not just read words on a Bible, but let them be living in our life at all times. It is time for us to start making sure that we are turning to him in every single thing in our life. He has great things for you. He has freedom. He has love. He has everything you need. The power verse for today was 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Where you rest in him, there is where your true freedom is. It's not based upon what the world thinks freedom is. It's not based upon what we think that should be happening in our life. It's not based upon anything but who he is and what he has in our life. When the Spirit is there, he is setting you free from everything that might try to hold you down. Dad, you want to come up?
I'd like to thank everybody who is praying, praying for Connie and I for our surgeries. We seem to be doing well. 25 years ago, today, I had a heart attack. Not my heart attack, just a heart attack. And I thank God for allowing me to spend 25 extra years with my wife and family. And in that 25 years, I hopefully have developed a church family also. So, all in all, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I mean, I don't know about you, but I enjoy that message. I always enjoy listening to my daughter, but really I know that it's more his daughter than my daughter. You know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you, I love this. I love, there are some things where it says, you know, we're a freak, you know, Jesus freaks. I mean, I'm a Jesus freak in the house. I mean, and you know, I mean, we're all a little different than what the world looks at, man. I praise God for that. But Rosie and I went to, it's the sports store over, what's it called? Something five? Big Five. Yeah, we were in there. We're looking for a basketball hoop and backboard for my house. Mine is, it's wore out. It's the fiberglass falls off it every time you hit it. And so you got a chance of getting little stickers all over when you're playing basketball. The net's hard. It's just hanging on by one string. And I don't know about you guys, but I hate playing basketball on a court that's like that. But my backboard is so old that nobody's got one like it is what they're telling me. Try play it against sports is what they said. But, you know, every place we go, folks, you got to be, you know what, leave an impression. Amen? I mean, change the atmosphere in a place where you're at. Amen? But Rosie decided, she goes, you know what? You need tennis shoes anyway. So I'm looking at tennis shoes. Some say running. Some say walking. I said, well, maybe I need to look at the walking because, But when I was looking, I felt the Lord say something to me. He says, you have the dew of your youth on you. Don't you remember? I said, oh, yeah. Maybe I should get the running ones done. Whatever, man. But I sat down. I was trying some shoes on. And there was a guy came out. He's a big guy. And he kind of wasn't real friendly at first, but when I looked at him, I said, hey, man, what do you think, bro? You think these shoes make me look younger? And he looks at me and goes, I don't know. Yeah. And then another lady was there, and I asked her, you think these shoes make me look younger? She goes, I don't know. So I tried them both on. Again, I stood up in them, and I'm looking at, yeah. She had gone out and back and came back. And she goes, yeah, they do make you look younger. I thought so. And then that other guy comes out, and he's kind of laughing about it. I don't know if they went back to talk about it. I don't know. But he comes back, and I go, what do you think, bro? He goes, yeah, they look good, man. So I said, all right. So I took them off, put them in the box. We went and buy them. While we were up there, I said, you got a couple of great salesmen back there. They told me I looked better. I looked younger in these shoes, so I bought them. And they all started laughing. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to remember me. Amen? They're going to remember that goofy guy that came in. And I'll tell you what. But it was all based on something that God said to me. You have the dew of your youth upon you. Don't you remember? I said, oh, come on, man. And it changed the atmosphere for me. And I'll tell you what, we are called to do that. We are called, just like my daughter was saying this, for we are called to be an impress or change the imprint of the world around us. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's do that. Amen? Praise God. So let's pray. Father, and I want you all to have a great 4th of July tomorrow. Amen? Amen. I know most of you will be barbecuing. Amen? Save a little piece of steak for me. No, I'm just kidding, yeah. But let's pray that God will, starting today, cause our lives to be such an imprint, no matter where we're at, that people will remember us, amen? That they will remember, hey, that man, what's different about that guy? And then when they do talk to you, you'll say, hey, man, I love the Lord. I love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for Rebecca being obedient to deliver what you have given to us. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as we go out, Father God, that you would cause us, Father God, to be so, so far different than what the world is used to. Because, God, you are more than even imaginable. Even to us. So, Lord, do that, what you desire to do through us. Speak through us. Let our lives glorify you in every step. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. The Lord's anointing and blessing be upon you. Give somebody a handshake, a hug. Thank you for coming to Sarita House of Worship this morning. Hallelujah. We love you all. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.